and a very good Sunday morning to all of you. Thank you for listening to our radio broadcast. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you'll become a regular listener. At the end of our broadcast, you'll be given the meeting times for our services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of our services. You will always be warmly received. We also encourage you to check out our website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. We also encourage you to write your questions to us at the Harrisburg Church of Christ, 1369 127 Bypass, Harrisburg, Kentucky, 40330. Again, write us your questions. We'll give you a Bible answer according to the Sacred Scriptures. This morning, our question comes from Luke chapter 11, verse 24 through 26. The questioner is asked to explain these passages. Let's begin by reading the passages. Luke 11, verse 24 through 26. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest. And finding none, he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. In answering this question, I think it would be helpful to read the parallel account of this in Matthew chapter 12, verse number 43 through 45. Matthew 12, 43 through 45. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest, finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So it shall also be with this wicked generation. Now, in the context of Matthew chapter 12, he is having a discussion with the Pharisees, who are seeking a sign from him and trying to find fault with him as accepting him as the Christ. And he tells them that they will receive no sign except the sign of Jonah, and that is the 3 nights and 3 days in the heart of the earth, as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish in the book of Jonah. And then he talks about the men of Nineveh who rose up and repented at the preaching of Jonah. And then the queen of the south, who was the queen of Sheba, and said that Solomon's wisdom was greater than any of the earth at that time. And indeed, the book of Matthew says there's one that's wisdom is greater is here and is greater than Solomon. Of course, these two references have reference to Christ. And Christ was the problem and the obstacle for the Jews in accepting the Messiah as prophesied by the Old Testament prophets. So in verse number 43 through 45, he applies this passage to the conduct and the attitude of the Jews. You see, it was like an unclean spirit going into a man. And then that spirit is released. And then the man cleans the room in a figurative way, but he doesn't replace it with anything. The evil spirit goes out of his heart, but he doesn't replace it with good, and he doesn't replace it with the Word of God and truth. Therefore, the evil spirit, so to speak, or falsehood, can once again take place in his heart because he has not filled it with things that are right and honorable. And so he's still susceptible to be led into error. When you take this account and the Jews, that's exactly what they did. They wanted to have a relationship with God, but they would not accept the Messiah. And yet a relationship with God was not possible now unless they accepted his son, and his son as a fulfillment of prophecy and the Messiah that had been told to them for so many years. We also understand that he says so will it be with this generation. They can't remain neutral about Christ. They have to make a decision. They have to make a choice. They have to decide whether they're going to follow Christ or they're going to stay stuck in their traditions and equating them to the law of God. Now, in Luke's account, it is just reinforcing this from another standpoint, that one cannot remain neutral. You cannot remain neutral in your relationship with God. You have to get on one side or the other. There is no neutral ground. There is no half in and half out. And if you notice in Luke's account, it says the last state of that man is worse than the first. A one that doesn't take a stand. You're either gathering with the Lord or you're scattering. You can't have it both ways. We have to understand that we have to make a commitment. We have to be all in or we're all out. There cannot be this spiritual tightrope, walking on the fence, just taking a neutral position. It is impossible. You cannot serve God and take a neutral position. You have to make a commitment. You have to make a choice. This is much like the choice that Joshua left the children of Israel prior to his death in Joshua chapter 24. In Joshua chapter 24, he is dying. He's going the way of the earth, and the land has been divided up, and the inheritance has been received by the children of Israel. And now they're in their homeland, and now they have their inheritance. And before his death, he makes this challenge to them in Joshua 24, beginning in verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He challenged them to make a decision. He challenged them to make a commitment to God, to determine whether they were going to follow the idolatry of the land that they were in, or whether they're going to follow the true and living God that had delivered them from Egypt, had given them their homeland, and they have received their inheritance in the promised land. He challenged them to make a choice. Much later, the same attitude and choice will be given through the prophet Elijah. In 1 Kings chapter 18, the children of God are gathered together with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, and he challenges them. He asks them a question. How long do you halt between two opinions? If Baal is God, follow him. And if God is God, follow him. And so he suggested a test that would determine which truly was God. Was it Baal or was it the God of heaven? And of course, you remember the test, and the sacrifice was consumed and proved that the true God was the God that had delivered them and the God that Elijah was representing. And so they determined at that time that they would follow the true and living God. Again, they had to make a choice. They had to make a commitment. Such is true today, dear listener. You cannot sit on the proverbial sideline. You can't walk the proverbial tightrope. And you can't hold on to two masters. Jesus told us that himself in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 24. No one can serve two masters, for either you will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You see, man must make a choice. In Luke's account and in Matthew's account, Matthew applies it to the Jews because they were between two things. They were trying to hold on to Judaism, yet they were not accepting Christ. Such was not possible. In order to be true and have a true relationship with God, Judaism was now going to go away. It was going to be nailed to the cross, and they were going to have to accept the Messiah and his law and his standard and to follow him. And so they had to make a choice. And so, in Luke's account, he makes the application before the passages, you're either with me or you're scattering abroad. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the same today. Men are either with God or they're with the world or they're with Satan. In either case, they are scattering, they are not gathering. And so, man must make a decision. He must make a commitment. He must truly be converted to the Lord, to submit his will to the Lord, and to follow his path, and to walk in the path that he would have him to walk, and to do the things that he would have him to do. You see, too many today want Christianity, but they want it on their own terms. They want to be able to keep the things in the world that they like, and yet they want to be able to hold on to Christianity and give them some sense of security that they're in a relationship with God. Such is wishful thinking. It cannot be accomplished. You either are with him or you are against him. You either truly committed to him, converted to him, following him, obeying him, and trusting him, and dedicating your life and your will to make his will your will, or you are separated, you are scattering, you are not aligned with him, you're not committed to him, you're not truly converted, and you haven't yielded your will to his will. In other words, you're trying to hold on to both things. Such is an impossibility. The Bible clearly teaches that he will not accept a split allegiance. He will not place second place to anyone or anything. It is either all or it is nothing. Now, I know to many people in the religious world, that sounds very narrow. And that sounds very contrite. But, ladies and gentlemen, if you would read the scriptures, if you would look at the examples that are left for us of men and women of the past, you will see those that were commended, those that were considered faithful, those that were considered as worthy examples were men and women who were fully trusting and committed to the things that God would have them to do. Such is the case today. Where are you in this relationship with God? Are you trying to hold on to the world? Trying to hold on to the things that you like to do? Try to do the things that you accept and then reject the things that you don't want to do? And yet convince yourself that you're in a right and proper relationship with God and that he will accept this split allegiance as you strive to hold on to the world and God at the same time? Such is foolishness. Such is wishful thinking, and such is putting you in a predicament where your spiritual soul is in jeopardy. God's word clearly states, you're either with me or you're against me. And ladies and gentlemen, God knows which side we're on. He knows whether we're with him or he knows whether we're against him. And the thing that he knows and how he can tell is by where our life is and the choices that we make in our life. Ladies and gentlemen, what kind of choices are you making? Are you in or are you out? Are you fully committed or are you trying to walk the proverbial tightrope? We hope and we pray that you will fully commit yourself to God, to his ways, to his truth, and that you will walk in his path, and then you will be accepted, and you will have a proper relationship with God, and you will be considered as one with him. Are you with him? Or are you against him? Remember, God knows. Thank you for listening. Tune in again.